There are, in fact, two readings. The first is from Mark chapter 12, page 1018, verses 28 to 34. And the second, if you want to look for it now, although I'll announce it again, is 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 6, page 1160. Now, firstly, the reading from Mark. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You're right in saying that God is one and there's no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he'd answered wisely, he said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Now, page 1160. "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the eyes of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." This is the word of the Lord.
Great. Well, do keep that passage open in front of you, the 2 Corinthians one, so page 1160, because that's where we're going to be focusing. And do pick up the sheet you were given as you came in. There's a sheet with "Love your neighbour," the top right-hand corner, and that's the sheet for the sermon. So you can follow through, fill in the blanks if you like. If you want a pen to fill in the blanks, then do wave a hand. Jonathan has pens at the back that he's willing to distribute. Thank you. A couple over there as well. Well done, Jonathan. Oh, and further back as well. Good. Let me pray for us while pens are being distributed. Join me to pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, please, that you would teach us and excite us and fire us up and send us out to serve and love our neighbours. Amen. Well, this year, verse for the year is "Love your neighbour as yourself." Last year, our verse was the first of those commandments that Jesus said when asked which is the greatest command. And he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And then he says, and the second is, "Love your neighbour as yourself." So last year we did the first one of those. This year we're doing the second. That doesn't mean to say that you stop loving God now, obviously. Keep going at loving God and keep going at loving your neighbour as well. Now, we introduced Love Your Neighbour last November, towards the end of November. And we're going to focus a bit more on how we go about reaching out to the people around about us, the people living in this area, people living close to you, the people you're with at work, as we seek to love our neighbours. Like we said at the beginning, at the end of November last year, we recognise that we need to change the way we're going about reaching out to others. Because in general, people around about, people in society today, are generally not looking to the church. We said the numbers of people even looking to the church for funerals has really dropped. I was speaking to another funeral director over Christmas, and they said they reckon 90%, it's gone up since November, 90% of the funerals they do are not religious. Now, that is a massive, massive change. People aren't looking to the church. And people in general, I don't think, are particularly positive towards church and towards Christianity. And therefore, if we just go around putting flyers through letterboxes, giving people invitations for things, just sort of out of the blue, generally people won't take us up on those invitations. Some might, which is great, so we shouldn't stop giving invitations, but we've got to think, actually, our culture has changed, and therefore we need to change in our method. And so the PCC in September last year, we, when we met, we had a good time thinking about our challenges as a church. And we said one of our big challenges is to think, how do we reach out? And we've got to focus on building relationships with those who live near us. It's that long, slow work of building loving relationships with those living near to us. It was interesting, 20 years ago, I was talking with someone about this, 20 years ago, if you were talking about loving your neighbour, probably in sermons, you would have heard people say, well, now don't just think about your next door neighbours. Your neighbour is probably, you know, could be someone with great needs who's further away. Now we've got to be thinking, well, yes, but it also does include your next door neighbour as well. We've got to think about those living right next door. And generally, people don't know each other very well. So at the end of November, we said, could you write down on a prayer card? So we did a prayer card, if you remember, and if you haven't got one yet, do grab one. They're available at the back, which has sort of your street on it. So there was your house in the middle at the bottom as a square, and with you in it, or me in it, and then you had the other squares near it, which were the houses round about you. And we said, could you fill in the names of the people who live in those houses? And what we found was, certainly we found, actually we couldn't even fill out the names. Not of all of them. And the challenge was, well, let's be praying for our neighbours. Let's pray for those people on that prayer card. And maybe you, like me, you need to re-energise on that. After having got through Christmas, you need to think, right, yeah, I need to get back to that, to be praying for my neighbours. And then we said, how about making first contact with your neighbours? So maybe take them round something. Christmas was a good time, wasn't it? Well, it's not the only time. But we can make first contact with neighbours, just to say hello, to show some kind of kindness towards them. So that was the challenge towards the end of November, and we're going to think about it a bit more now. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to think about a Bible truth that we need to hold on to, and we're going to think about a little bit more about the practicalities of loving our neighbours. And that's where we're going to need to join it. We're going to get the children back in, and we're going to talk again in, you know, you can talk with the person next to you. If you don't want to, by the way, if you don't want to, that's fine. You can sit and just think. But it would be nice if people were talking with the people near to them. Maybe you as a family can be thinking about how we're loving our neighbours. When the children come back in a bit, in about 10 minutes, then we can think more together. So we're going to think about a Bible truth now, and then think about practicalities when the children come back in. So, what's the Bible truth that we need to think about? Well, when we go next door, when we go to our neighbours, we can feel like we are heading out into no man's land on our own, just taking this gospel message, and we're just heading out into the unknown, just us on our own. It can feel a bit lonely, can't it? And we can feel, well, we head next door, ring on the doorbell, and who knows what will happen? And we can feel, well, I know at some point I need to tell this person about Jesus and maybe invite them to something, and that's kind of scary. And if I'm going on my own, well, maybe I just give up, or I don't quite try, or we get a bit intimidated by the idea. We can think, well, God sends us out. Maybe God sends us to go and convert our neighbours. God tells us to go and build a church, and we get scared. Well, actually, we need to see there is an important Bible truth we need to hold on to, which, if we understand it, will send us out with much greater confidence. And what's this Bible truth we need to hold on to? It is this: God builds his church. God builds his church. We'll come to the 2 Corinthians 4 passage in just a moment, but we need to see the Bible consistently, over and over again in the New Testament, says it is God who is building his church. He is the one who grows it. In Matthew 16, Jesus says to the Apostle Peter, "I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Jesus is the one who builds his church. He does it. 1 Corinthians 3 is another place to look. We looked at this last summer, and we saw it is God who says he grows the church. So you and I, we cannot grow the church. We cannot build God's church. It is God who does it. God and God alone can do it. But how does he do it? How does he go about doing it? In what way? Well, we're just quickly, very quickly, going to see three things. And the first two are from the 2 Corinthians passage. So if you'd look at that, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 to 6. When someone becomes a Christian, who is at work? Who is at work when someone becomes a Christian? Well, I'm going to answer that as we look at those verses in 2 Corinthians 4. In this passage, Paul is describing to the Corinthians the ministry that he is doing. And he describes who is involved in the work of reaching out to those round about and involved in the work of someone becoming a Christian. And the first thing I want you to see is in verse 6. So right at the end of the passage that Hesse read for us. Who's at work when someone becomes a Christian? Verse 6, we actually read this last week as well. Verse 6, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." So for anyone to become a Christian, God opens blind eyes. It's up on the screen, fill it out on the sheet if you're filling out the sheet. Point number one, God opens blind eyes. For anyone to become a Christian, God must open blind eyes. The passage says, the god of this age, that's the devil, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So for anyone, for you, for me, for anyone to have become a Christian, God must open their eyes. And notice, will you, that what God opens their eyes to. Verse 6, "to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." It is Jesus-focused. God opens people's eyes to Jesus. Not to becoming more religious or to becoming sort of just better people, but no, it is all focused on Jesus. God opens people's eyes to Jesus. So, important biblical truth. God opens blind eyes. Now, our danger is in hearing that we might think, well, that's lovely. We can just sit back and wait to see whose eyes God opens. We can sit with our popcorn as Emmanuel Church, just look out, watch the neighbourhood, and just see who God works in. But there's more in the passage. God opens blind eyes, that's true. But second, we need to see, we preach Christ. So again, on the sheet, we preach Christ. Since God is in complete control, he could have decided to convert people in any way he wanted. He could have decided that he will just open people's eyes and it will just happen and no one else needs to be involved and he could just do it that way. But God has also determined the method, and God's method is to send his people, that's you and me, out with the message to go and speak about Jesus. And Paul says that in several of these verses, doesn't he? He says this is what the ministry is. Verse 2, he says, "Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We don't use deception, nor do we distort the word of God." Notice it's the word of God. Biblically, that's significant, isn't it? The word of God is going out as Paul is doing this ministry, as Christians are speaking about Jesus. "On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." So setting forth the truth plainly. Then verse 5, so just skip down a little bit. "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." So what's our role? to preach Christ. We preach Christ. And notice how we're to do it. Without deception, without distortion. Why might we be tempted to distort the message? Well, because it is a countercultural message. It goes against what our society believes. Notice, it's a countercultural message for every culture that there has ever been and ever will be. It is countercultural to every culture. Because the message that we're proclaiming is that we as mankind have rebelled against God, rejected God, and therefore deserve God's anger, God's punishment. But God, in his great love, has sent his Son to die for us, so that those who put their trust in him can be forgiven. And so the response we need is to repent, to turn to Jesus, come to him as Lord and Saviour, and bow before him, receive the forgiveness that he offers, and live for him from then on. Now that is an unpopular message. So we might be tempted to distort it, to take out hell or judgment or repentance, and we might be tempted to distort it, but we'll only distort it if we don't recognize the two truths that we've just spotted. So we need to put the two things together. We preach Christ, God opens blind eyes. Now, when I saw Rico Tice, who's an evangelist, do this, it was great, and he got everyone joining in. So that's what I'm going to do as well. So join in with me, would you? So the way we're going to do it, we're going to split the church in half. This isn't an official split. This is just, we're just going to do this for speaking this out loud. So you guys are going to say, we preach Christ. You guys go for God opens blind eyes. Are you ready? Go.
We preach Christ.
Oh, God opens blind eyes. That was a little bit lackluster, that side. Let's go for it again.
We preach Christ. God opens blind eyes.
Thank you. Let's do it the other way around. We preach Christ. Let's do it again.
We preach Christ. God opens blind eyes.
Okay, and that's what's going on when we're reaching out. We preach Christ, God opens blind eyes. That is evangelism. God tells us, speak the message faithfully, he will open blind eyes. If we think it's just down to us, we'll distort the message, we'll change it because we want to make it popular, we want to do the converting. If we recognize it's only God who will do it, and God says, no, you speak that message faithfully, we will speak the message faithfully and look to see what God will do. And that is what he calls us to do as we go to our neighbours, as we go to love our neighbours. Now, we need to be careful in loving our neighbours. I've put on the sheet there. We don't just love people in order to share the gospel. That's important. We don't just love people in order to share the gospel. That will be seen as manipulative, won't it? And people will see through that. And actually, that's not what we're called to do. We're called to love our neighbours however they respond to the gospel, whether they become Christians or whether they hate it and hate us. Because if they hate us, you could say biblically they've gone into the category of enemies. And what does Jesus say we should do to our enemies? Love them. Okay, so we're to love them no matter how they respond. Okay, however they respond to the gospel, we're to love our neighbours. So we love, but part of us loving our neighbours is that we want to share the gospel with them. Okay, so that's important to get that right. But there's a third truth that we need to recognize. Okay, this is all under the heading of God builds his church. Yeah? So God builds his church. How? We preach Christ. God opens blind eyes. Third truth that we need to spot, which is God has picked your neighbors. Did you know that? God's picked your neighbors. He said, I'm going to have them as your neighbors. You may think, God, why did you pick them? But he did. He picked those people to be your neighbours. Now, for that, I want you just to flick to one other passage, to Acts chapter 17, verses 24 to 28. So page 1113. Would you just turn to that for me? Page 1113. And I'm just going to read verses 24 to 27, actually, probably, not 28, as I put on the sheet. And just follow through with me. So page 1113, bottom right-hand corner of the page, starting at verse 24. And notice what God has done, what God is in control of. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. Okay, I just want you to focus in on verse 26 and 27 there. What's God determined? What does God determine? He determines people's times and places, when and where people live. So that means God has determined when and where you live. You live in the house you live in because God has determined that you live there. And your neighbors live in the house they live in because God has determined they will live there. And why? Why has God done that? Verse 27, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. So God has arranged where everyone is for evangelistic purposes, for outreach purposes. Your neighbors think they've come to live where they are for a whole load of reasons. Because the school places are good, because it's easy to get into London, because it's easy to get out from London, because it's a quiet area. Maybe they've moved to this country because it's a safer place to live. That's what they think. The real reason they live where they do is because God has decided they'll live there so they might reach out to him. And the means, the method that God uses is you and me going to our neighbours. So he chose your neighbours. So when you go home today after the lunch, just look at your neighbours' houses. I mean, don't stand and stare for too long. They'll think you're weird. But look at them and think, God has placed these people here that they might reach out to him. And he wants to use you and me to take the message to them. We can't convert them. Only God can do that. But we're to go and to love our neighbours and look for opportunities to speak about Jesus. And God has picked who those neighbours are. He's picked them. Now, that doesn't guarantee they're going to respond positively. I don't mean they're all going to go, yeah, let me come to Emmanuel Church. It doesn't mean that. In fact, Jesus warns us that the world will hate us because it hated him. So some won't respond positively. Yeah, we expect that. But some, God might open their eyes. And he wants to use you and me to take that message to them, the message about Jesus. So, what's the important biblical truth that we've got to hold on to? God builds his church. God does it. We preach Christ, God opens blind eyes, and God has picked your neighbours. So that's the biblical truth that should fire us up and send us out to go and love our neighbours. It's long, slow work, and initially we don't necessarily go out looking to tell them about Jesus straight away. It's long, slow work of loving our neighbours. We're going to pause now, and we're going to sing, and then the children are come back in, and we're going to have a little think together about the practicalities of this. So, when the music group start up, we're going to stand and sing To God Be the Glory, which is a great hymn, great song, which speaks of the great message that we need to take to our neighbours. So would you stand to sing? Great, it's good to have, boys and girls, good to have you back in. Pathfinders, great to have you back in as well. Well done. We're going to have a little think about the practicalities of love your neighbour. If through this you still need to use the creche, obviously feel free still to do that. But great to have this time back together as we think a bit more about the practicalities of love your neighbour. So we've been saying, end of November, we put this challenge out there of love your neighbour. Let's make contact with our neighbours. Get to know them a little bit. Maybe invite them in. Just some way of making contact. Now, the first thing I'd like you to talk about, and you might want to move so that you're with sort of family, so that you can talk about it together, because that kind of makes sense. Or if you're not with family, then do talk with the person next to you. If you want just to be quiet during this, that is absolutely fine. Or if you're saying, actually, I'm not a Christian, I don't know what you're talking about, just listen out for what people next to you are saying, all right? But this is what I'd like you to do. Just to think to begin with. Here we go. How's it going? How's the Lord answered any prayers of yours so far as you've sought to make contact with your next door neighbours. How's it going? Have you tried? Have you had negative response? Have you had positive response? Well, how's it been going? Just trying to love your neighbour. If this is the first time you've heard about this, you could think about, well, how could I maybe make more contact with my neighbours? How could I love them? So just initially, how's it going? And then I'll give you a few more ideas in a few minutes and you can talk about them together. All right? So chat with your neighbour. We'll get a little bit of feedback in a few moments as well. So how's it going? You might want to move around, talk with your family members or with others. All right? Go. Okay, everyone. Okay, let's just get a little bit of feedback. If there's anyone who's saying, actually, there's a particular... with tea and coffee coming round as well. So don't worry, just keep going with getting your tea and coffee. But any particular feedback, answers to prayer, encouragements, things where you've gone, yeah, we tried this, or even, you know, anything that you want to encourage someone, us all with. Anyone want to give a little bit of feedback? How it's gone, trying to love your neighbour over Christmas? Cara, go for it. Okay, you are going to need to listen as well. Don't worry if there's a little bit of noise.
There's a neighbour who was coming to Kangaroo Club until the end of last term, but now her great-grandchild is going to nursery. She's coming round for coffee on Friday, so it'd be great to pray for her.
Brilliant. So a neighbour coming round for coffee on Friday. I haven't made that contact. Anyone else? Any other encouragements? Andrew, go for it.
Our immediate... neighbour, wife Hillary, invited to come to one of the two of the Langleys' dinners that we've had in the past, and her reaction was, oh, well, yes, so long as I don't have to go to church. But we thought, try again for the carol service this year. So Hillary invited her, and she said, well, I'll think about it. And then a couple of days later, she rang the front door and said, yes, I would like to come. So she's originally from Serbia, with the exception of having one short visit to the Our Lady Immaculate Church, when her mother came over a few years ago. She'd not been inside a church for 50 years. She came to the carol service, was astonished when she looked all around and said that she was very pleased and happy to have been there and really enjoyed it. And on Christmas Day, we had light nibbles for our lunch, just the two of us, and so we invited her in for that. So she came in, joined us for that, and watched the Queen, and then said, no, I don't want to go back and watch a film.
I have no idea what that says about the Queen. Anyway, there you go. Anyway, that's Steve. Yeah.
Well, just before Christmas, I was chatting to a colleague at work, and he'd mentioned that he'd been to his granddaughter's carol concert and really enjoyed it. So I said, oh, we've got a carol concert coming up. Why don't you come along? And lo and behold, he did. And he enjoyed that as well.
Wonderful. Brilliant. Okay, carol service coming up. Anyone else got particular encouragements that they want to give? Yeah, Eve.
Thank you. So I invited my next... I put a Christingle card, service card, through my next door neighbour's door over the Christmas period. She has two young children. So they came over. I wasn't able to make it, but they gave me feedback to how lovely to one. The kids really enjoyed it, and they hope to be coming in the future, attending service in the future. Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you. Well, great encouragements there. We had a good encouragement as well. We've been praying for our neighbours as well, obviously, and we had a few of them over for coffee and mince pies before Christmas, praying for them. And then after Christmas, one of our neighbours came over to us, came to us and said, we wondered whether me and Ollie would like to go and watch a Chelsea match with them. So we thought, oh, well, yeah, okay, this sounds great. So they paid for the tickets, they got them, and took us to go and watch Chelsea. But that was a great opportunity to go and watch football, but also to spend time with our neighbours and just to build up that relationship. So we're very thankful to the Lord for that. Okay, now, we need to think, okay, what next? How do we keep building those relationships with our neighbours? So I'm going to give you a few ideas, a few thoughts, and you can then think, chat again with your neighbours, not your next door neighbours, sorry, confusing language. Talk with the person next to you in your row or with your families about how you could maybe use some of these, put them into practice. So here are a few ideas for you. Okay, they are ideas. First one, make contact. You may feel, well, yes, we've been trying to do that, but actually maybe there are others near you who you haven't yet made contact with. We still haven't filled out all the names on our prayer card. So maybe there are some where you go, actually, we still need to make initial contact with them. Or people who you tried, but they weren't in, or that sort of thing. So there's that. Celebrate. celebrate with your neighbour. So if they've got a birthday or they've got a significant something coming up this year, in conversation, if you happen to spot them saying, actually this year, it's a significant birthday this year, try to spot when it is. I managed to do this with my hairdresser, my barber, that I found out it's his 50th birthday this year, and I know when it is, so I'm going to make sure that I take something on that day so that there's a just sort of celebrating with them. So see if you can spot things that you can celebrate. Maybe it's a birthday, maybe it's something else. Maybe there's something you've got coming up this year which is a celebration that you could involve them in, that you could draw them into. So that's celebrate. Host. How about inviting people into your place? Maybe not everyone can do this, but could you think about hosting your neighbours in some way? Hospitality is a really significant thing. Lots of people don't even go into their neighbours' houses. Their neighbours' houses are like, it's a mystery what's beyond the front door. Don't you find that? You don't know what people's like. And yet it's a significant thing to invite people in. It's sort of saying, come into my life a bit. In a little way, but come into my life. I want to share this with you. It's a significant thing. Now, don't feel your house has to be spotless, has to be perfect before you invite people in. If you do that, what you're saying is, I really just want you to get to know the veneer, the outer, the perfect me. Actually, we want people to get to know us. So it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be awesome. Just invite people in. So you could host. And fourth on there, serve. Look for ways to serve your neighbours. What's their greatest pressure? What's their greatest need? Are there things where your neighbours are saying, oh, I'm really struggling with this? Could you be the answer to that? Could you support them in some way? Maybe if it's something bigger where you feel you can't do it, could you get your home group involved or others at Emmanuel involved where you say, actually, I know I can't do this by myself, but I know someone who can, and you could involve others. We as a church family need to be working as a team on this. Can we serve our neighbours in some way? Maybe it's even an example could be, maybe you're going to the tip and you could take some of your neighbour's stuff if they need it taking to the tip. Or you could say, I'm hiring a van to take stuff. Can I take any of your stuff? Not that you're just going to nick it, obviously. So there are a few thoughts. Make contact, celebrate, host, serve. Have a chat with those you're with. Say, how could you use some of this? Or have you got other ideas what you could do? Have a chat, and we'll get some feedback in a moment if people have got things that they would like to share. So have a chat. What could you put into practice? These questions, by the way, are on the sheet that I gave out on the back. So the questions you're thinking about now are, any other ideas, and what will you try? So have a chat.
We've been in our house, it'll be this August, it'll be 20 years. So having missed an opportunity at Christmas inviting people around, we thought maybe an idea would be to say a sort of open invitation, send invitations around to say, right, we've been here 20 years, we're very aware, we don't know very many of our neighbours, come and have afternoon tea with us or something like that to celebrate 20 years in our house.
Fantastic, brilliant, thank you. Other thoughts? Go for
Andrew again. I'm going to credit Sue with this idea, but the idea is that collecting for a charity, it might be not necessarily a Christian charity, something like Marie Curie Nursing or something like that, have an open time for people to come in and just have a drink and then contribute to the charity.
Great. Yep, brilliant. Thank you. Other thoughts? Other ideas?
It might sound like a dating strategy, but it's not. it's just like getting to know them and then finding out what they're interested in. I know that my colleague absolutely loves music, and so during Christmas I gave her the Pilgrim's Progress, the opera thing, and she absolutely loved it because it tells the redemptive story, even though maybe she doesn't understand it, but it's something that she can get into and enjoy.
Getting to know what people like. Yep. Any other thoughts? Oh. What are you trying to tell me, Ken? Turn my mic on. Oh, yeah, that does help. Yeah. So, any other thoughts? People have got any other ideas that you were going to try? Paul, might it be the same as Yasmin's? Or no?
Yeah, so my idea is kind of under the serving banner. It is kind of what you spoke to. I have an exact neighbor who has a lot of stuff in his garage that I've come to see, and I have some stuff in my garage. So, you know, it's an opportunity for both of us, because, you know, it's more of a two-person job where one of us could rent a van, and then we can take some rubbers together to the tip, and that's one way that I thought we can start a relationship.
Thank you. Great. Anything else? Yeah, go for it, Teresa. Thank you.
Well, apart from seeing our neighbours, because we've been in our house not 20 but 17 years, if you're at home all day, perhaps you could tell your neighbours you'll be willing to take parcels in for them for deliveries. Yeah, and then obviously they have to pop round, or you pop round to them to deliver it and say hi.
Everything. Brilliant. Yeah. Any little ways? Yeah, guys, go for it.
Yes, next month our neighbours are going to have a puppy arriving in their house. We already have a dog, so we need to pray that would bring opportunities for more interaction and contact, and possibilities for service as well, you know, helping perhaps look after the dog on occasion.
Brilliant. Yeah, great little opportunities. Well done. Great. Well, keep thinking about ways that we can love and serve our neighbours, and we'd love to keep getting your feedback on how it's going. We sent round by email a little link that you can click on to give feedback as to how things are going, and we'd love to sort of keep drip feeding that to the church family to keep encouraging one another. So if you've got any encouragements, we'll send it round again, but you can click on that, feed it back into us, and if you're willing to say something on Sunday mornings, even better, but we can always put it out on in some other way, just to encourage one another to keep going at loving our neighbours and trying to do it in practical ways. We're going to finish now by singing, and then Mark's going to close the service with a prayer. So we're going to stand to sing our last song. Please stand.